Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
Now, test your memory. Last week, Pastor Stewart was the speaker, and he spoke on a topic. Can anybody remember what it was? It was on the Good Samaritan, that's correct. Well, as I say, the Word of God is so alive. So I was already preparing today's sermon. And when I was preparing, I thought it's already quite nicely done. The title is really neat and all that. And then Pastor preached. And then I got the title, a new title, right in the midst of the sermon. And so this is it. I entitled this morning's sermon very much linked up to what Pastor was preaching last week, and I entitled today's sermon as Neighbors. Neighbors. I've not watched any of the show on Neighbors, so I can't speak for that Neighbors on TV, but I can speak about the Neighbors that is being reflected in the Gospel, or not in the Gospel, in the Scriptures, that is in 1 Corinthians. So this is very much inspired by Pastor Stewart's sermon last week. Who are our neighbors? I think generally speaking, neighbors are anyone other than yourself. So they can be the relationships we form, really literally on our street. We've got street neighbors, or they could be strangers. They could be our colleagues. They can be our staff. They can even be family members if you want to be very general about who your neighbor really is. Well, the neighbor is the one we just need to show love. That's what Good Samaritan shows us. Neighbors are the ones that we need to show and reflect the love of Jesus. So let's ask the Lord to bless this time. Oh, the kids are going to be in the service this morning. Ah, the cartoons would help. Okay, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless this time. Father, we thank you so much that you give us word of life. You say to love our neighbors as ourselves. There must be something in there. That's why you put it as a part of the great commandment, and that is to love our neighbors as ourselves. This morning, reveal to us who our neighbors are, and reveal to us how we can be better neighbors, and how we can create an atmosphere of love among the neighbors that you have sent our way. So God, let your word be so alive and so powerful this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know what you think about neighbors and what you think about relationship, but I want to say this. In my time of communicating with people and also counseling people, and that is that people who are not in relationships want to be in relationships. That's why we read books like Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. So they are not in relationship. They want to be in relationship. And then there are those who are in relationships, but they want to be free. Very complex, aren't we all human beings? They want to be free. And that's why we have articles like How Can We Untangle the Bonds of Enmeshment? So that we will not be enmeshed in relationship, but not enmeshed. That's the complexity of the human spirit. Well, the truth is, God wants us to be free. And the truth is, God wants us to be in relationships. They are both very important, because in our Christian life, God upholds these two things to be very important in our lives. We need the freedom. We also need the relationships. And today I like to focus on how we can be in relationship and yet at the same time be free. You say, is it possible? Yes, it's possible. The question we want to ask is, how can I be a good neighbor? Like the good neighbor, he was bound by race, he was bound by culture, yet he was free to relate with the injured man and was able to be so free to actually give a helping hand. And today, the best person to learn about freedom and relationship is Paul the Apostle. And he's got some really great words from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 to 23. So have your Bible, and you need to have your Bible these days, not just a written word. Now you've got your mobile, so you must have the Bible. And that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 to 23. This morning, I'm going to read from the Message, because the Message Bible, or the Message version, is a really good version to read on this few verses talking about being free in relationships. So it's really good. So if you don't have the Message Bible, that's okay. Just listen to me. But if you do have the mobile, you can actually click it onto a Message Bible and you get 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 to 23. It says there, "Even though I am free from the demands and expectation to everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. Religious, non-religious, meticulous moralists, loose-living moralists, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ, but I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. I did all this because of the Message. I didn't even just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it." The key phrase for me in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 to 23 is this key phrase, "I kept my bearings in Christ." In all relationships, if you keep this key phrase as the principle of your life in relationship, you'll be great. Because this is so important. I kept my bearings in Christ. And I think Jack gave away a little bit of my line here. He says, Christ is to be the plumb line. Christ is to be the benchmark. Christ is to be, if you read some literature in the world, is to be the true north. He is to be the plumb line of our pursuit in our freedom in relationships. I reckon it is very dangerous to teach about freedom. So dangerous to talk about freedom without emphasizing on the bearing to Christ. Because freedom can be misunderstood. Freedom can be misunderstood by teenagers as being able to do anything you desire. Freedom can also be misunderstood by middle-aged people to mean you can do anything your heart desires. But the truth is, human desires can be earthly, it can be wicked, it can be evil. And so if we only equate what is feeling good to feeling free, then that is very dangerous preaching. But, Christ wants to set us free. You are free indeed, Christ says. So there must be something in freedom in Christ that we must go and get it, because we don't want to live lives that are slavish and oppressive and boring and dull, especially during this time. We are happy people. But you must know that if you are happy people, you need to know your freedom in Christ. Am I making sense here? So the first duty of every one of us is not to just find your freedom, is to find your master. See, freedom is keeping our focus on Christ and taking our direction from Him and being able to do everything He desires. It's not everything you desire, because I get really scared if I do everything I desire, because I've got a lot of desires. If I do everything I desire, I may be free, but I'm not free to Christ, because that may not be what Christ wants. So freedom is doing whatever God desires and doing it so well and so free-spiritedly, you will enjoy your life so much. Okay, I tell you one thing. I'm really privileged. Just a few months ago, to be invited to go sailing. So nice, on Swan River. I've always been driving past Swan River, but never sail in a boat on Swan River. And so one day, I got this very special invitation by friends to go and sail. I said, oh, that's really, really nice. But the best part was, not only do I get to sail, I get to control the boat, because they wanted everyone, the ladies especially, you know, these gentlemen on the boats, they are very suave. And they said, you know, the ladies can try. And so I was one of those people who got the privilege of holding on to the rudder and then being able to steer the boat on this beautiful Swan River. Beautiful Swan River with its blue waters and so peaceful and serene and so huge. The scope of Swan River when you are on the river itself is just amazing. It's so free. Right? So, yeah, not so free to move backwards, but so free to just look beyond on Swan River, and it was just incredible blue waters. So when I'm on the at the front part of the boat, controlling the boat and bringing everybody with me, because there were about, I think, 8 of us on the boat, I've got a great responsibility, but I also experience great freedom. But you know, the freedom is very short-lived, because you can enjoy it so much, but you've got 10 people or 8 people on the boat. You need to know where you're going. And so this boatman, who is the experienced one, say, look, you may be enjoying yourself, but good, good, good. I want you to focus. Focus on something in the distance that will be the marker. And so the whole time, I'm so free to enjoy the wind in my hair. Not much hair, but at least got wind. And you enjoy the freedom of the moment. But my eyes were fixed on that object. My eyes were fixed on that particular thing in the distance, so that I can steer the boat towards it. That's exactly what we meant in what Paul meant in 1 Corinthians 9 when he says, I kept my bearings in Christ. Every friend you make, every relationship you make, you can be so free to do everything, but you must keep your bearing in Christ. Because if you keep your bearing in Christ, you will not get lost. You will be going towards the pier, and you will be okay in your newfound freedom. Jesus is to be the object of our faith. And in the relationships we make, we keep our focus on the object of our faith, then we'll be truly able to enjoy true freedom of sailing through the journey of life, particularly in the area of relationships. So the next question then to ask is, okay, I understand that. So what does it mean, or what does it look like, to be free in relationships? I don't feel so free. I feel all my time's limited. I feel my experience is limited. You know, I don't feel free. But what does it look like to be free in relationships? Paul gave us the answer in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, be free from the expectations of others. He says, I am free from the expectations and demands of others. You see, Paul served the people out of a fierce devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. He endured the whipping. He endured the stoning. He was in prison just to bring the message of God, because he knew that the message of God has the power to salvation, as what Jack mentioned just now. The message has got power. And Paul served the people with the message because he knew if he only gave the message to the people will be strong. That's why week after week, you know how difficult it is to plan a sermon. But Pastor Stewart has been doing this for so many years. You know why we do what we do? Because we believe that when we give you the gospel, the message of power, you become powerful in Christ. That's why without fail, we plan our message, we pray over our message, we are serious about our message, so that you become strong Christians. Paul freely served the people. That's a good word here. But Paul did not let people put him in their pockets, even though he worked very closely with them. He says, I am free from the demands and expectation of everyone. It's very powerful. See, in this passage, Paul was financially competent. He was a tent maker, so he's got enough money to last him. So he doesn't really need the money of the church to help him go further in his ministry. He was financially competent, and his calling was from God directly. He met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And so when he was on the road to Damascus, when Jesus met him face to face, he was so compelled to serve God. He was so compelled to serve the gospel. He had no need for the Corinthian church to tell him what to do. Whether the Corinthian church support him or not, whether they give him money or not, it doesn't matter. Paul will still go ahead and preach the gospel. Like what my friend said, such a person would be someone with no baggage. You can live life so free. As such, Paul was free from the expectations of people, and that's why he could address the difficult issues that the Corinthian church were facing. And, you know, sometimes I don't know about you. I've been hanging on with a lot of people. And I tell you what, people have expectations. People have expectations. And sometimes the expectations drive us to be really who we should become, but sometimes the expectations of people can make us feel trapped, can make us feel torn. And if we constantly feel trapped and torn, and when something like freedom in Christ is being preached, it's really hard to understand. Because if we constantly feel trapped, constantly feel torn, then you're not able to enjoy the freedom of Christ that is available in Him for relationship. So my take to you is this. Some expectations are unrealistic, and it's good to know what they are. Some expectations are unspoken, and it's better that we know what they are so that we can better deal with them. Amen? Is this going okay? Are we sailing along Swan River? Okay. In the Word of God, huh? Yeah, I got excited about this message. And then I got doubtful about this message, and I got excited and I got doubtful, and then someone says, forget about it, just share it. That's good. That is a good. I'm free from expectations of myself. It's good. So, sometimes expectations can be unrealistic. You see, some people in our lives expect us to be available at all times to meet their needs. Important thing to remember, how you want to be free, is to keep your bearing in Christ. Okay? There are people who want all your time, your life, your blood, your sweat. But keep your bearing in Christ. Okay? Is this what God really wants for you, to be at the beck and call of everyone? The answer is no. We can't play God in people's lives. God is God and we are not. We can't be available for everyone, to everyone, love everyone, be at the beck and call of everyone. We can't be everyone to everyone. Even Jesus himself, he retreated to the mountains. He was having a really great time, but a very tiring time ministering to the people. And so he decided that he should go to the mountain. The disciples ran after him and says, Jesus, Jesus, don't you care? You know, you did such a great job yesterday, is the expectations. You did such a great job yesterday. You should continue. What did Jesus say to the disciples? Well, maybe this is a time to relocate. This is a time to move to another village, because another village might need us. Even Jesus did not look at the unrealistic expectations of people and just flow with it. He sought the Father. He kept his bearings in the Father. We need to keep our bearings in Christ. Keep focusing on Christ. And then we'll be able to deal with some of the unrealistic expectations of other people. Paul says, I'm free from the expectations of people. It's amazing. I want to learn from Paul. The other thing about expectation is that it can be unspoken. Through body language, we can allow the unspoken expectation of people to make us feel condemned. Makes us feel guilty. Damned if we do, damned if we don't. We allow the body language of people to govern how we behave. For a very long time, I lived in that environment where my father was, he's a really nice man. I only got to know him towards the end as really like a friend. But when I was growing up, I thought my father was so fierce and he was so dark in his complexion. I thought he was really angry with me all times. Body language, you know. I look at his body language and his dad is angry. And I was a firstborn. So I told my brothers and sisters, dad is angry. How do I know? Because his face is so black. Body language. It's not true. Aiya. I miss all those years of growing up with my father as a friend, but I'm glad I did finally found him to be my friend, sitting at the coffee shop and talking, and then he telling me about his friends and so on and so forth. It was really good. But we need to keep our bearing in Christ. There are unspoken expectations of other people. If you want to be a good neighbor, you need to keep your bearing in Christ. Is that what Christ really wants us to do? Well, no. The fear of man is a trap and a snare, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need to fear man less and fear God more. But sometimes, it's not other people who are creating the expectation. Sometimes it's us. Like I told you today, like just 2 days ago, I was thinking, is this message, is this exciting? Is this no doubtful? Expectations of self. You know, sometimes we can be unrealistic in the way we expect ourselves. Like, I'm the only one available to care for my family. My siblings expect me to do everything. Unrealistic sometimes. Elijah thought he was the only prophet in the whole of Israel. He had an unrealistic expectation of himself. He says, if I don't preach the word of God, this whole nation of Israel will be doomed. And then God showed him, son, I tell you what, you're not the only one around. There are 7,000 prophets who have not bowed their knees to Baal. Don't worry, you preach your word. I've got the other 7,000 to also preach the word. Sometimes the unrealistic expectation on ourselves can give us pressure. You remember what Pastor Stewart say? The man who brought the one who came out from the prison back to his own house? Maybe he has got unrealistic expectations of himself as a helper. Maybe he thought, if I want to help this man, I need to help this man to the very end. And so he brought him back from the prison to his house, and then he ended up raping his wife. See, sometimes we have got unrealistic expectation of ourselves and we need to let the burden go to the Lord Jesus. Keep your focus on the Lord Jesus. Is this what Christ really want? In fact, when Jesus was on earth, he says, please, Martha, 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 rest. Don't busy yourself. Don't frenzy yourself. Rest. Even Jesus himself told Martha to be realistic about her expectations. Sometimes the unrealistic expectation of ourselves comes in a very unspoken way. Like we expect. Like my oldest son should know that he needs to come over and fix my tap for me. I shouldn't have to ask. That's unspoken. That's in your heart. You bottle it in there and you expect to see movements and actions. That's unspoken. That's unrealistic sometimes. You must keep your bearing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this what Christ really want? You see, in the Jewish language, there is no such word as should. Like you should do the tap. You should sing louder. You should fold your hands. You should not sleep. In the Jewish language, there is no should. You either do it or you don't. It's interesting. One of the things we can do is learn up this skill of what I call articulation. Okay? There are many unrealistic and unspoken expectations from other people, from ourselves, but we can learn up this skill of what Paul taught us through his example. And that is how to articulate, how to articulate. Paul, the apostle, articulated to the Corinthian believers that he had a issue about the finances that the Corinthian church was not doing very well in. You see, the Corinthian church need to actually provide for the needs of the preachers. And Paul was one of them. But somehow, the Corinthian church did not support Paul. And Paul wanted to tell them, look, I am self-sufficient. I'm okay. I have money. I don't need you to really support me. But Paul articulated. Paul told them, expressed to them, that the reason why he raised this issue is that he wanted them to have a good habit about supporting preachers and supporting ministers, because some of them may not be like Paul. Some of them may need the money. And so Paul, in his earlier verses, was able to articulate his viewpoint. We need to learn to articulate. I thought I was a really expressive person, but there are some things that I grew up not being able to articulate, maybe because of the fear of my father or whatever. I'm not using this time to search my soul. But I think there must be something there. So someone's very scared to speak, you know. Now, I know it surprises you, but there are many times that I wanted to articulate something and I didn't have the guts. But Paul taught us that one of the ways we can do is actually to articulate clearly and directly. And he says things like, I'm not shy to stand up to my critics. He says, I'm not just sounding off because I'm irritated. He actually says it like that, very clearly, very directly. And I want to make it clear that I've never gotten anything out of this for myself. So Paul was very clear. He was very clear. As a neighbor, whoever that we are dealing with, we need to be more articulate. And by articulation, I don't mean you just express anything that is in your mind. Remember, freedom is not saying anything you like. Okay? Freedom is saying what God likes and what God desires. So by articulation, I mean that as a good Christian, our speech need to be seasoned with grace. We need to keep our bearing in Christ. And it's not to say everything that is in your heart and just download and unload everything like a dump, you know, everything, and you unload it to somebody else. The answer is no, that's not articulation. That's dumping. Don't dump. We are to be kind to one another, especially to our neighbors. God says to love our neighbors. How can you dump things to your neighbors? Do you go to your neighbor's house and put all your rubbish for pre-Christmas dinner or at your neighbor's house? You don't. You don't, right? I will ask for permission. Usually if I need to use my neighbor's bin, I will ask for permission. Hey, can I use your bin? Because yours look empty and mine looks full. But we don't dump. We are a good neighbor. So when we articulate, it is to articulate in such a way that we are able to say something clearly and directly, and we are free to express what is inside. Like what Jack says, you know, nowadays in Australia, there were some things about whether or not you can sing the Christmas carols and all that. People have expectations on Christians to do certain things or not to do certain things at Christmas. We need to articulate it really clearly. So what we did was we go to a shopping center and we are still able to articulate the gospel of Christ. Don't be antagonistic. Articulate the gospel of Jesus. Amen. So, back to our examples. If we want to make expectations realistic, we need to articulate what you can give and what you cannot give. Rather than letting people expect you to be available at all times, it is to be clear to see what you can give, put a boundary around what you can give and what you can't give. You just have to let God do it or let somebody else do it. But you need to articulate it. Sometimes you might think other people are unrealistic in the expectations and they come across as precious. You need to articulate to make clear, because if you don't articulate and clarify some of these expectations, sometimes they don't mean to be controlling, they don't mean to be a particular way, but because you didn't articulate, you let this whole behavior just go on and on and on. Like I didn't articulate to my father because it was too blackface to do articulation with. And so I allowed the years to go by and go by, and until only at the last bit that I'm able to be a friend to my father. I call him the father of my faith even. But what a waste! I should have articulated. I should have articulated, but we can. No shoots. I just say that we must not shoot ourselves. But really, in 2018, I want to articulate more. If we want our son or our daughter to be with us at a particular time, we make it clear to them. Speaking out is a good way to explain to them or to tell them. For example, I felt alone, like I'm the only one available to care for this family. Could I get some help here? Articulate that. I felt alone, like I'm the only one available to care for this family. Could I get help here? This is what I'm able to do. I'm able to do A, B, C, and I need someone to do D, E, F. Can someone do D, E, F? Articulate it. When you articulate it, then you can be in relationship and yet be free-spirited, because you are able to have an outlet where you can express yourselves. Paul is a free-spirited man. He was personally financially competent. He had his finances all sorted out. His calling was very well defined. He knows how to clarify his expectations and the expectation of other people by speaking up. I think when our expectations are well adjusted, it will make relationship with other people a very enriching experience. We feel like having neighbors. Of course, we want to have neighbors. And one of the things we want to do with neighbors, and I pray that 2018, you will really, by the power of the Lord, be a better neighbor, be a good neighbor, so that people can be further reached by the gospel of Christ. Because you are the messenger, and you are the message of Christ. If the message of Christ is love, then you are the message of Christ. There's no other means, because some of your neighbors don't read the Bibles, but you are the message of the Bible. And God wants us to practice the presence of people. You see, because Paul was able to be free in relationships, and Paul was able to articulate, that's why Paul didn't see people as bothersome. It doesn't bother him. Because he wrote, he says, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all. I have voluntarily. That means I have made up my mind. I'm free to choose, and I'm choosing to be a servant to any and all. We have a strong obligation to serve people. We've been hearing this. If we don't have a strong obligation to serve people, then the amount of messages we hear are going to make you feel guilty and bad. But we have a strong obligation to serve people, and God has given us a strong power to do so as well. God wants us to have neighbors in our lives, because neighbors enrich us. You know who don't have neighbors? One cartoon character don't have neighbors. Shrek. I love to discuss with Tim Lim. We used to watch movies together. We used to, you know, like to talk about Shrek. And Shrek has no neighbors. He has the swamp all to himself. Not Swan River, swamp. He has a swamp all to himself. No neighbors. He doesn't want neighbors. He was so isolated. Finally, he reluctantly allowed donkey to come into his life. Yeah. But ultimately, Shrek, the one who is so isolating and isolated, also want to have neighbors, because essentially put into the nature and the psyche of all men is the need to have relationships. Finally, because of donkey and his ability to make relationships, he got his wife, Fiona. Scott Peck, a psychiatrist and an author, he says this is, all of us are born narcissists. That means we love ourselves. And that learning to grow out of our narcissism is at the heart of the spiritual journey. We need to practice the presence of people, because when we love people, we reveal the beauty of another person to themselves. And God wants to do that. God love, you know why God loves us? He wants to reveal the beauty in us. And we are to love others so that we can reveal the beauty of other people to themselves. We all need help. We're all beautiful, but we all need help to reveal our beauty to ourselves and to one another. And that's why we meet every Sunday, I hope, in church, where we can encourage that. Practicing the presence of people is good for our neighbors. At the same time, it's also good for ourselves, because Paul says, I so want to love people, because in so loving people, I partake the blessings of the gospel. That means I myself get refreshed. I refresh others and I myself get refreshed. See, Paul saw the value of relationships. Paul saw the value of relationships. That's why he said he would do anything to reach his neighbors and to lead them into a God-saved life. Now, how does Paul do that? I think there is one skill that Paul used. So the first skill that Paul used was he articulate. The second skill that Paul used is he accommodate. He accommodated. Paul had a range of people he had to relate to, wide range. If you think you have a wide range of people to hang around with, Paul has got a lot of really, well, it was a huge range. Religious, non-religious, meticulous moralist, loose-living immoralist, the defeated, the demoralized, and then he says, whoever! And I think Pastor Stewart says it so well. He says, there are people who may exploit you, who may use you, who may abuse you. Yeah, well, sometimes the people we hang around us can be a tough bunch. What do? Paul accommodated himself to circumstances and to people. He says, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all. I like that picture. I know it looks really dangerous, but to accommodate is to really put your lives in danger, to let somebody be safe. Wow, that's really amazing. You enter into their world and try to experience things from their point of view. And that's what Paul says, I have become just about every sort of servant there is. That's what Paul says. You see, accommodation often requires us to sacrifice our preferences, sometimes sacrifice our rights, so that we come across without opposition and not objectionable. I'm so thankful that God did not tell us to be a cactus, because cactus will poke you when you are near them. We are not to be objectionable. We are not to be always in opposition. Let's be friends. Sit down and talk on things that we agree. Being accommodating is not about us. It's really about how we can be a better neighbor to somebody else. It's about serving the other person. It's about paying attention to the needs of the other person, his interests, her viewpoints, making him or her feel important as a person. And I think we need to develop that, because that's love. Love is accommodating to the needs and desires of the other person and to esteem the other person better than yourselves. And that's why there is one good phrase I learned. It says, in principles, stand like a rock, but in taste, flow with the tide. In principles, stand like a rock, but in taste, flow with the tide. When we were in Pakistan, I wouldn't want to wear that, not costume, but that dress in Pakistan. I don't know what's the name of the dress now. Not burqa. Yeah. I would wear a burqa if I need to. But during the time in Pakistan, I wasn't required to do that. I was required to wear the Pakistani dress. But I have to do that because if I want to speak to the people there, I got to be like them. And so I wore that just to accommodate to the needs of the people, and then I can give the message of Christ. In fact, there was a stage up there, and it was only for men. In Pakistan, a woman don't stand on the stage. You understand that? A woman don't stand behind the pulpit. You understand? And so to accommodate to the needs of the Pakistani believers, I had to go down to where that platform is on the same level as the people. In fact, the men and the women were all seated on mats there. You know, and you don't look at them like I'm looking at you. I'm making a lot of eye contact, if you realize. In Pakistan, you don't make eye contact, you know, you look down. Because if you have eye contact, especially with a man, you are too bold. And so I don't. So you got to accommodate, you know, don't say, oh, I'm a Western woman. So what if you're a Western woman? If you want to reach the needs of the other person, you got to accommodate. And so I did. Thank God. Not because I'm so smart, because I was told. See, Paul was a Jew by birth. Yet he was an apostle of the Gentiles. He was a scholar. He was able to deal with the rabbis and the philosophers of his age. Yet, he delighted to minister to the rudest barbarians. A modern English professor would say that Paul is an expert in using what we call the language of the time. When I was in uni, I was an English major. And so I remember these three terms, because these three terms are so cool. I'm going to tell you what the three terms are. One is called the basilect, one is called the mesolect, and the other one is called the acrolect. Okay. Basilect is a dialect that you use, basically a very simple dialect that the commoner would be able to understand. Mesolect is a dialect that you use with the middle class so that, you know, you don't sound low class. And you are able to communicate with them and still be able to get across some good philosophies and ideas and terms and terminologies. That's a mesolect. The acrolect, you use it with the high-class people so that when you are with high-class people, you don't just eat with nice mannerism, you talk with flair, artistry, poetry. Like this morning, we had poetry from the children, huh? Did you realize they actually spoke the message in poetry? Very acrolect. So what I would then say is, in your life, develop a language that can talk with the commoner, that can talk with the middle class people, that can talk with the high class people. Why? Because the language of love has no barrier. I pray that you will be so seized by the power of the Lord to be able to learn the language of love that God so desires, so that we are able to reach out to the people. Paul could accommodate to the needs of the people because he spoke the language. All of us are really very flexible. I have pastored the church for all these years. We are very flexible. If there are things that need to be done, we all do. Things that need to be said, we all say, you know. We need to ask the Lord to help us develop a great scope. Especially in the times we are living in, we can't speak just our own language. We need to speak the language of the people out in the community. And if it means you speak the language of the commoner or the middle class person or the high class person, we need to accommodate so that we are able to reach more people. When we can cultivate a broad and generous human empathy in dealing with doubt or poverty or sorrow or temptation, then we put ourselves in the position that we are able to guide and comfort and, like what Paul says, to save them, to save some. May we learn the skill of accommodation. But accommodation does not mean that we blur all lines. I don't want us to be so loving until we are foolish. No. It does not mean we blur all lines. It must not lead us to tolerate sin or to hold back truth just because it's unpopular. Jesus did not do that. I mean, he accommodated himself to sinners. He loves them. He so loves them. He so loves them that he gave himself to them. He so accommodated himself to humanity, but yet he himself was sinless and he was pure. He loves the sinners so much. He loves them, every bit of them, but he preaches the truth that saves them because he loves them, not what is popular. And that brings us to the last point, and that is, I can't teach accommodation without teaching this next point. Because if I tell you to just be accommodating, then I'm bringing you to a place that is also very dangerous. And that is, we need to be accommodate. At the same time, we need to differentiate. We need to differentiate. And I'm using a scientific term, but it's in the Bible. I get excited, you know, whenever I come across a scientific term and it's like in the Bible. Or I come across psychology term and it's like, why is it in the Bible? Because sometimes the Christian community is not very tolerant of psychology. I know that. I know that. Sometimes I get stoned because I'm a psychologist, but that's okay. But now my joy is when I can reconcile a terminology in science and be able to bring a new light to you. Paul says exactly what I said. He's able to differentiate. He says this. He says, I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view, but I didn't take on their way of life. You hear me? I didn't take on their way of life. I know how to differentiate myself because I kept my bearings in Christ. You can be so in tune with somebody's emotions. You are so able to enter into their feelings, into their needs, into their concerns, but you are also able, by the power of God, not to lose yourself. We need to develop that. To be able to have a way of closeness with people. At the same time, we are able to separate ourselves so that we are not pressured into conforming our values and our attitudes. I pray that we are so good in differentiation, because if you are so good in differentiation, God will send us people that need the gospel, because we will be so able to love them. At the same time, we'll be able to differentiate ourselves so that we will be kept safe and healthy and loving in the Lord. I feel boundaries do not sever relationships. In fact, boundaries will create better relationships. Keep your bearings in the Lord. When your eyes are focused on the Lord, then you won't let the stress and the anxiety of others overwhelm you. This morning you heard what Jack says. The name of Jesus is above anxiety. The name of Jesus is above depression. Why is the name of Jesus above anxiety and depression? Because Jesus differentiated himself. He loves you, but he didn't get depressed because of you. I hope you know that when you're depressed, Jesus didn't get depressed with you, because he knows how to differentiate himself. Jesus is so good at accommodating, so good at loving you, so good at understanding you. He's the priest that can empathize with every weakness that we have, but he's so good in staying apart from you as God. He is human, but he is God. He empathizes with you so much, but he is not going to be empathetic to the point of losing himself. He will not lose his godhood. He will be with you and give you divine love, divine protection, divine guidance in the way that you need. Jesus was the best example. in the song that Jack led us just now, he says, Jesus, the same blood, the same flesh, one of us, the same dust, the same dirt, the same skin, the same breath. Jesus accommodated to us just to save us, just to love us. But he is also the Son of God. He differentiated himself as the Son of God. God wants to give us the power to be a good neighbor and to make good neighbors, because the message of the gospel needs to go out. Needs to go out. Don't be afraid of hanging around with people who are moral or immoral, religious or non-religious, or depressed or overwhelmed. They are the people that God wants to send us to. They are they'll be the people that God wants to send into our midst as well. Don't be afraid. Learn how to articulate so that you can be free from the expectation of other people. Learn how to accommodate. Love them, love them, love them. Don't have too much opposition. Don't be a cactus. Be a light, be the salt. Love them. But also learn how to differentiate from them, keeping your bearings in Christ. Is this what I should say, Lord? Is this, Lord, who you want me to be dealing with at this time? Is this, Lord, what you want me to do? Ask him, inquire after him. I pray this year, before the year ends, we will make a goal for ourselves. And that is, Lord, help me to inquire of you more. Amen. Amen. Let us pray.
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.